I've seen a couple other interviews with you, and you talk about going to church and coming up to a rock and roll camp and getting sent there in the summer for 3 weeks, and how that sort of sparked some inspiration. And you talked about being a guitar player prior to that, but being not as comfortable with singing, at least from a professional standpoint. Can you talk about what really ignited that passion as far as using your voice goes?
Yeah. Always interested in becoming a better singer, but for me, at first, it was all about guitar. I think what it mostly was I was really obsessed with all of the singer-songwriters from like the early 2000s, like John Mayer, Jason Mraz, and then most of them were instrumentalists and singers. So that was kind of my eventual goal. But at first, it was just about being a guitar player. I wanted to play electric guitar. I was really into classic rock and stuff. And so after I started playing guitar and then I joined up with church, I hadn't really found a way to ease into playing and singing. It was more just about playing guitar. And then when I learned how to play a bunch of those church songs that I played back in the day, a lot of them are pretty basic, four chord songs that are pretty easy to learn. And that kind of got my foot in the door, I guess, of learning how to sing and play, and then it kind of all just snowballed from there.
So you were a lot more comfortable as an instrumentalist from early
on. Yeah, that's kind of what was more how I identified myself. But I'd always liked to sing, and my mom had always told me that I should sing more because she thought I had a nice voice just kind of naturally. And I was in choir for most of middle school all the way up through high school. So I was not like it's not like I wasn't singing regularly. But it was more of like in a group setting and not so much just like me by myself. But then after I kind of got done with the church thing was when I joined my first band. And I was, about that point, I was a senior in high school. I was starting to do little coffee shop gigs and writing my own material, and I was also setting up shows too, like little like events where I would bring the PA to the, whatever coffee shop and then invite three or four other songwriters to come and play. And I would kind of open mic type thing. It was pretty early on, like 2006, 2007, around then.
I mean, that's pretty commendable that you were a self-starter at such a, at a younger age like that, just inviting other artists to come play with you. Yeah, it's respectable. And I've seen you mentioned before where it just to be able to make a living off of live performance, it's a privilege.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's something you have to work for.
Definitely. It's definitely a privilege and not something that comes easy. And even, getting paid to play music for a living, I'm playing cover songs most of the time, but even after achieving that goal, now the eventual goal is to get I have a new original project that I've been trying to get off the ground now, and that's the next goal, is to try to start generating some income from that, but I'm still obviously very grateful at what I've been able to accomplish for myself. But it took a while. It took about 10 years of just kind of making it like a high priority hobby, I guess you could call it, because I was also working other jobs and stuff up until that point. But then I found a way that was able to generate a good amount of income to the point where I was able to just quit working a regular job and just focus fully on that. And so that's kind of where I've been since then.
Yeah. So sort of through trial and error, but it was always a vision that you had. It was that was the end goal for you, or at least to start the rest of your career. And I'm very appreciative of that because it's a realistic goal, but you put your foot in the door where it opens up a wide array of opportunities, for the rest of your career. And speaking of opportunities, you mentioned this new project that you're working on, and anybody who's been paying attention has heard of Radical West, and we've seen what you guys have been teasing. I want to know what catalyzed that.
The pandemic did, actually. I had a batch of songs that I've been working on. 2019, I went overseas and did a residency out in Singapore. And so while I was there, I was recording some of my own music and that whole plan set up for 2020 where I was going to put a bunch of songs out, release. But then obviously, the coronavirus happened and kind of, put a stop to everybody's plans. And so I put out a couple songs earlier in the year, and then I was kind of just at a loss what to do at that point. And I had gotten hit up by a guy who was previously playing with my now guitar player. It was kind of a weird situation. The guy who hit me up was living in Connecticut, and he was like, yeah, I'm the bass player, and then we're forming this band, and our guitar player lives in Vegas with you, and then our drummer lives in LA. And I was just like, okay, that's kind of a doesn't seem like a good setup, you know? So, and he asked me, I was like, would you be interested in being the singer of a band? And I had been in bands for, you know, a few years, like for my early career, that's mostly what I did up until I went solo, like around 2015 or so. And I had always in the back of my mind thought it would be really fun to start another band, but bands are tough and it's really hard to get everyone kind of on the same page. And that was kind of the biggest issue that I'd had with the previous projects. So I always thought if I did get into a band, I would need them to be dedicated and also to a certain level of skill. And you know what I mean? Like that I wouldn't want to just play with anybody. I want to play with people that are, you know, way better than me, basically. That's what I was thinking. Like, it's like, I need to get into a band with some guys that are just insane, like amazing musicians and stuff. And so this guy was like, yeah, well, our guitar player Sawyer is he's like a Berklee College of Music graduate. He's an incredible guitar player, produces music too and stuff. So I was like, all right, let me meet up with him. And so we met up around February. It was like right when everything was shutting down. And we were kind of just in that mindset of like, we don't know what's going to happen with the world. We were all just kind of, you know, just apprehensive and scared and barely seeing anybody. So I was kind of just like staying at my house because I was staying with my parents too, because, you know, everyone kind of at risk at that point. So I was literally just staying at my place that I was living, and then I would go over to Sawyer's house. And that was the only real contact I'd had, you know, other than a couple other people. But so we just started messing around and writing, and I started a couple ideas just to kind of take to him and see how it went. And we hit it off really well. And we started just like working on these songs, and I come to find out he was kind of in the same mindset as me. He was just like, I don't really want to start anything unless somebody that I think it's really worth my time and stuff. And so we just kept writing. And then after a couple months, we had like four or five ideas, and we thought, you know, okay, we need a drummer now. And my drummer, who I play with, his name is Zach Ellingson. He and I have been playing cover gigs together for a few years now out here in Vegas. And he's also recorded drums on a couple of my solo project songs. And he was my first choice. And he had always expressed to me that he wanted to start something like an original project over the years. And so then I figured, hey, like, look, you want to do this thing? And so we all started kind of throwing ideas to each other, like remotely. And then eventually it got to the point where Zach was like, I just want to come down and like meet up with you guys. And so he, you know, he came down, we were all wearing masks and stuff. So we're all still kind of being extra careful. And then Zach started recording drums at his house, and he'd send us ideas, and we were all remotely kind of recording, you know, the demos together. And then we get together on like Wednesdays with Sawyer and kind of go over each idea. And then a couple more months went by, you know, stuff started to kind of open up again. And then, we were like, okay, we need a bass player. So, you know, the gradual progression of it all, we found our bass player, Lonnie, who's this guy who's one of those guys that just sits in his bedroom his whole life and just plays, you know, for hours and hours and hours. Like, you know, he's just amazing. He's just a complete, his level of talent. Like, I've never played with a bass player as good as him. It's been absolutely, a pleasure. And so then at that point, we all started to rehearse together. We were like, okay, let's keep working on the songs. We had about 10 ideas ready to go. We were like, and we thought, we want to record a full album. We don't want to do like just like an EP or like some singles. Like, we want to do like a whole thing. And so that's what we've been kind of working on. We've been practicing a couple times a week, like, you know, five, six hour rehearsals. And we've been doing work on the demos on Wednesday nights. And we just, in February, started recording in the studio, and we had wanted to find a keyboard player to top it all off for a while. And we've been putting Facebook messages out saying, oh, you know, anybody knows any keyboard players? And we had zero luck with anybody. And then randomly, out of the blue, like about 2 weeks or so before we were supposed to go into the studio, our now keyboard player Spencer just randomly follows me on Instagram. And he's just another one of those guys. He also went to Berklee College of Music, and just, he's unbelievably good at all kinds of keys. He plays organ. He can play pretty much anything. And he was in between bands. He just quit a previous band, and so I was like, hey man, you looking for something to do? And he goes, actually, yeah, man, let's like meet up. And so we met up with him after one rehearsal. We were like, this is our guy. And then he just kind of slid right in. And it's funny for him because he literally just came in, you know, came to this band, and we immediately started recording an album. He barely had one rehearsal with us, and we were already going into the studio. So so we kind of like wrote with him as we went along in the process. And he just knocked it out of the park. So as of right now, we are pretty much done tracking the album. We're about to start mixing it, and we're talking to like videographers right now for figuring out who's going to want to do all of our visuals and stuff, because we want to partner up with some companies or something, and create like a partnership with an editor or something like that. Like, we're trying to figure out how we want to like do it, because we also want to start doing like TikToks, YouTube, all that type of stuff, like on the regular. So that's kind of where it is right now, but I'm beyond excited about it. I've really never been this excited about a project, because it's just full of so many talented guys that we all kind of get along really well and we mesh really well. So it's going to be pretty exciting, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you guys are just oozing with professionalism. It's very interesting how all of that just sort of fell into place and you guys can all be so excited about this future project. I didn't know the album was done tracking, but what I wanted to ask you about specifically was studio time. Do you guys go into the studio with everything written? Do you guys pay for studio time with the hope of making the revenue back via live shows? What's the thought process behind that logistically?
We basically spent almost an entire year writing and working on the songs, and we had put them all into demos like at Sawyer's place, and you know, recorded them all, and I recorded the vocals for them, and everyone kind of did their thing, and then we pretty much workshopped them all from there, and you know, figured out which parts worked where, what didn't work. And so we had a pretty good idea of what the songs were pretty much going to be for the most part, just on a lower production value level, you know. And we figured we wanted to get like a proper producer, or at least someone to mix the stuff that we had already had. One of my best friends is this guy named Rob Katz, who we're producing with. He's a engineer and a freelance producer, but he's done engineering. He used to work at the studio at the Palms for about 14 years, I think. And so he's recorded everybody from like Imagine Dragons to Madonna to like Ryan Tedder from One Republic to Rihanna, like so he's had tons of experience with like really big artists, both engineering, assistant engineering, and he's done edits for them. And so he's a genius. Like he's crazy good with everything sonically that you'd want for your album. And I've done projects with him in the past with some of my old bands, but problem is we had always been kind of tied to his schedule with the Palms. So like his freelance projects kind of took a backseat to everything that was with the Palms, because that was his like main source of income. So like, for instance, we did a project with him back in like 2014-ish or something like that. And we had started recording for about a month, and then he got booked for a session at the Palms with The Dream. I don't know if you're familiar with The Dream. He's the guy who wrote Umbrella by Rihanna, Single Ladies. And he's just like a songwriter guy who will go into the studio and just book out like a full month, like 12-hour days, just, and all he'll do is write, like just come up with ideas and shit like that. And Robert was the main engineer. And so he basically was just like, all right, guys, like I have to go on and work this session for a month. So we didn't see him for an entire month, and it just put a complete stop on the project. And so now he's completely freelance, has his own space, and we were able to just spend the entire month basically working on all the songs. And so it was kind of something we had always wanted to do, with like no distractions, no interruptions, just like complete focus on the project. And so this is what we were able to do, and it's turning out really, really, really amazing. So I'm beyond excited. But yeah, and as far as like the revenue coming back, we're kind of going for the long game. We want to put out the album, create a bunch of really cool visuals, music videos. We want to start creating regular YouTube content, creating TikToks, just anything we can do to kind of direct people towards listening to the album. And just creating a brand of, like you said, you know, good musicianship, professionalism, positivity, all that stuff. And then, you know, merchandise from there. And then, of course, when live shows are a possibility again, plays, you know, many live shows as we can. We want to try to get into the festival circuit, you know, kind of wherever we can once everything comes back. So that'll be a kind of a gradual step to that direction. But we're kind of just working on what we can work on now, which is mainly just first the music, obviously, and then now just the visual aspect or online presence, and then kind of working from there on the rest of the stuff.
That's a terrific technique. I know a lot of artists, or at least DIY artists, I feel they don't invest enough in their product before they put it out there, right? And I feel like your experience in the industry has guided you towards that pathway.
Thanks. Yeah, that's kind of what my mentality was, you know, we could DIY a lot of it, but I wanted to just create something that was undeniable, you know. as far as the quality and the time we spent on it, as opposed to just like kind of firing off as many singles as we can in a short amount of time. Like, you know, and we wanted to create something that was just one big cohesive piece of art that people can enjoy at length. I mean, we're going to release like a couple of singles at first, but then encourage people to just kind of enjoy the whole thing, you know, as a whole piece of work. And we want to do vinyls too, so people can really get the full experience of it, you know.
But is that something you've always intended to do with this project, is to have it as one cohesive piece of art? Because those are the albums I like the most, or I gravitate towards.
Honestly, yeah. Like, when Sawyer and I first started writing together, we didn't have any specific goals in mind other than trying to just create the coolest music that we could and the stuff that we felt was the most honest expression of us as musicians and artists. And with no specific, like, you know, this is the kind of audience we want to target, or, you know, this is the kind of band this is the genre we want to fit into. We just kind of wrote whatever. And so genre wise, like, it ranges anywhere from, like, you know, R&B, like kind of old school, like 70s R&B. We got a little bit of like funk, definitely some pop, some Americana, like alternative rock in there too. A little bit, just a tiny bit of maybe country-ish, but it's more kind of in the Americana realm. But very organic though. The whole thing is very like drums, bass, guitar, keys, vocals, you know, and that's kind of what you get.
Definitely something to look forward to. And I know people have been buzzing about this record that you guys have been teasing. And I love the videos that you guys have been putting out. I know you don't have a specific promotional plan yet, but just the work you've been doing, just putting out raw content, is for itself. Yeah,
we've been trying to at least like put a little bit of, you know, stuff out, just to kind of a little bit of behind the scenes, you know, once we actually have the plan set in motion for the kind of content we want to put out, it'll be a lot prettier and more professional looking. Obviously, it's mostly just like phone videos of us in the studio messing around. But
that's what that's what people gravitate towards anyways. They like to see people when they're at their most raw, their most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be easy to buy out a huge promotional plan and then sort of seem almost inhuman. And I think that's what a lot of people like about your solo music in general, because it's very, it's either, you know, a love song or a breakup song. It's very relatable and, you know, you're vulnerable in a lot of your lyricism, which I think is appreciated by many, at least by me.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. But yeah, I think I take a lot of inspiration from life experiences and all that. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So when you write a song, is it more of a, I'm going to write a song about this experience, like something you set out to do? Or is it, man, I'm feeling really good, I'm feeling really terrible, I'm just going to channel this emotion into something?
Yeah, it depends. It's a little bit of both. Sometimes I sit down with a goal in mind, you know, or, you know, if I have like some sort of instrumental thing that I have, like either guitar or maybe piano idea, I'll kind of just play around with it and kind of see what comes out. But other times, like you said, like sometimes I just feel a certain kind of way and I want to express that with, you know, with the guitar and instrument that I have at the time. And that's a lot of times when the good stuff comes out, because it's really organic and just kind of comes straight from the state of mind that I'm in. Yeah.
And that's where the best songs come out, I think.
Yeah.
State of mind, you know, emotion.
Honestly, a lot of the ideas I come up with too are like when I'm driving in the car, you know, I'll like just turn the radio off and then just kind of like have my thoughts just kind of racing while I'm driving, kind of zoning out. And every once in a while, something will pop in my head and I'll be like, oh, that's kind of good. And I'll just, you know, take my phone and just record. If you can hear the voice notes, sometimes they're just like, something like that, you know, and just enough for me to kind of come back to it later and then go from there, like kind of build on.
Mm-hmm. So you seize the inspiration.
Yeah, exactly.
It's something that you've said before in interviews in the past is a piece of advice is to just not give up, right? It can be very discouraging when projects fall through, when opportunities don't go the way you think they will, and you've been in the game for a long time. I mean, or as far as being self-motivated goes, it can be very easy to just say, you know what, I'm done with this music thing. You know, I'm going to get a real job, quote unquote, and do something realistic. It's incredibly difficult for some people, or at least for me, to have a vision in mind for the future and stick with it. I know you've talked about this culture of instant gratification. It can be incredibly difficult to work towards a goal for 10 years, right? How do you keep yourself on track for that amount of time?
You know, it might just be a case of like chronic optimism that I have, but I don't know. I think it, for me, it's like I was fortunate enough to discover early the thing that I wanted to do for most of my life, you know? And so then it kind of was like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to be doing. I just have to kind of figure out and pivot and figure out which variation of this that I'm comfortable with. Because, I don't know, music was always something that spoke to me. Before music, it was video games. I love gaming quite a bit. And I think if I had not been, if I hadn't fallen into music, I would have been in gaming in some sort of capacity, I think. Just because it's very engaging. And I like things that are very engaging. Music is also very engaging. But because of music, I kind of, I just fell into that. And then I was like, okay, well, this is what I love. I just want to do this. And it wasn't really a question of if, it was a matter of like when, you know, and how. And then it became how. Okay, how am I going to do this? And so I just kind of kept working at it and kept pursuing it and keeping my mind open to other opportunities that I wouldn't have thought of myself, you know. In late teens to early 20s, it was all about signing a record deal, because that's kind of what it was back then. That was the dream. It was just, you sign a record deal, all your dreams come true. There you go, you know. But even back then, it wasn't that simple. And you know, when you're a kid, you just, you know, you don't care about the logistics of it. You just think, okay, well, this is what I want, and I'm going to try to do everything I can to get it. And then after, you know, the projects kind of fell through, and I got a little older. I was like around 25-ish, and I was like, okay, well, let's kind of take a step back and figure out the realistic scenarios here. And so I was like, okay, well the first thing is I don't want to be working at Starbucks or at marketing agencies that I was working at the time. I was like, I don't want to do this forever. I want to do something that I would want to do forever. So playing music is what I want to do. So that was just like, okay, how do I get paid to play music? And then I fell into just doing the cover tunes here in town and elsewhere too. And that right there was like one of the best decisions I made, was I embedded myself in that world and met the right people that I needed to meet to get myself started. And then it all kind of just snowballed from there. And now it's like, I get hit up all the time for work. I don't even have to try really, which is amazing. And it took a long time though, you know? Mm-hmm. But despite that, like now it's like I have other goals in mind too, you know? So it's like, you always have to continuously like find new directions to go, new goals to set for yourself. Otherwise it'll just kind of be stagnant. Cause I could just be like, okay, I'm good now. And I'm just going to do this for play songs for the rest of my life. And a lot of people would be content with that. And a lot of people are that I know that, and I'm, you know, and more power to them. But I don't know. I just kind of constantly have this like drive within me to figure out what the next thing is, you know? Kind of like my dad in that way. He's very like, he's always got to be doing something. He's got to figure out the next project and stuff. And so I think I've kind of taken that trait on myself and in my own sort of way. But it also like helps me find meaning, and it keeps my mind occupied. Because if I'm not doing anything, I kind of tend to get a little in my head and I get depressed, you know? So I just need to like have something to do. But yeah, so I think it's just good for the soul, you know?
I couldn't agree more. And that's it's a very healthy coping mechanism to never settle, right? To continue pushing definitely. Yourself. And I think a lot of our listeners who are creatives will find inspiration from this conversation, because that blind optimism is, especially we've had a bleak year, you know, as far as just opening your phone and seeing all of these you know, things that are happening around the world.
I think that another thing I would say is like, you know, it's good, but you have to also keep it realistic, you know, set the goals for yourself, but don't set anything that's too, you know, drastically unattainable that you'll just be constantly let down for the rest of your life. You don't keep that goal, you know, and also try not to be on your phone too much, you know, like try not to look at the news too much and get too distracted by things you can't control, you know. That's really much better for the soul, I think, than people seem to realize, because we're all kind of these devices that are the only goal that they have is just to keep us hooked on, you know? So like, I think taking breaks from all of it is very healthy, you know? Even if you're hustling, you got to work hard and, or they say work hard and play hard, you know? You got to take breaks.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, I love that term, good for the soul. As far as our phones go, especially in this past year, it's definitely something that's hard to moderate. And a piece of advice that, or at least a skill that I've been working towards this past year, is trying not to worry about things that I can't control, exactly. Which a lot of people have had trouble working on or just achieving.
Oh, yeah, myself included, you know.
I really enjoyed the conversation we had today. I definitely think it'll be inspiring for, at least for me, as a creative.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, just because you're a success story.
That's very flattering. Thank you. I don't see myself like as that, but it's very cool, and I really appreciate the kind words and the fact that you've looked up and seen the kind of the stuff that I've done. I don't know. I just kind of go do my thing and go through life, but I just don't really think about if people notice or not, you know? It's just nice to know. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. There's always somebody watching, which I've had a hard time grasping. But at the end of the day, you know, even if you've spent all day on your phone or watching the news or doing something unproductive, you can just slip on your headphones and listen to Everything's Fine. Well, thank you so much, Cameron. I really appreciate you making time for me today.
I appreciate it too.
You can find all of Cameron's contact information on his website, CameronDettman.com. That's CameronDettman. Or you can connect with him and his new band via our Instagram at Nevada Noisemakers. Find him on Instagram at Cameron_Detdettman and his band at Radical West Band. You're listening to his single, Everything's Fine, only on Nevada Noisemakers. Why you let him treat you like that? It's gonna be fine, fine, fine. Everything's fine. It's gonna be all right. Everything's fine. Tribulation. Always gotta let them in and mess with your vacation. You never clap back, always give them all a pass to be the perfect doormat. No, why you let them treat you like that? It's gonna be fine, fine, fine. Everything's fine.
Keeping up the good vibes. It's gonna be fine, fine.